Welcome into the Coachella Valley Report right here on KCOD Palm Springs. I'm Steve Kelly, and once again, you can listen to us on 1450 AM, or right now, you can go to KCODCoachellaFM.com, where all of our shows are there, and we have an action-packed show. We're going to talk a little later on about Bhakti Fest, which is next week up in the high desert. Also, we're going to talk with Maury Beschloss about economics. Mike Meenan will have commentary, but we start off with an old friend. Cindy Eucken used to be a columnist for the local paper. She disappeared for a while, but Cindy, like a boomerang, you've come back to the Coachella Valley to write the Eucken Report. Tell us a little about when you came back and what the Eucken Report is.
Steve, thank you, first of all, so much for having me on. I came back, it'll be 2 years ago in June, and I really, really miss the desert. And most of all, I really miss doing my passion, and that is covering local politics, which is so rich and vibrant in the Coachella Valley. So I came back about 2 years ago. I've been doing some freelance writing, and about 6 months ago, I started the Eucken Report. It had been in the planning stages for several months and officially launched in October of 2017. And the primary focus, if you've been following, is local politics, always rich fodder. And I'm also focusing on healthcare in the Coachella Valley and veterans issues and a little bit of everything else as time allows.
Well, you sprung to the forefront, a lot of the Eucken Report did, during the recent election in Rancho Mirage, where the incumbents were returned. And as a point of disclosure, Kate Spates has a, one of the candidates has a radio show on this station. See, so we always like to disclose that, unlike certain journalists at a certain network, Fox, but we want to disclose anybody thing that may be considered a conflict.
That wasn't. I'm so sorry. Always a lag time in the cell phone, but that was an absolutely fascinating race to cover from so many, many perspectives. I think the challengers gave the incumbents a real race. I'm a little surprised, and I'm not saying disappointed or anything like that. I'm just a little surprised at the outcome.
You know, I was a little surprised, somewhat, but not really, because Rancho Mirage, when you first were here, Rancho Mirage was insanity. They were suing each other over, you know, benches and craziness, and the city seems to be running fairly well, so it's always tougher for an incumbent. The only thing difference this time is you had a very well-funded challenger. And, you know, that's one thing you and I can talk about, because we both covered local politics for a long time here, you know, Cindy Eucken, is the amount of money now that's going into these races.
Yeah, staggering amounts of money for local races. And the one thing that I noticed about Kate, and I really do applaud her for, is she had a broad, broad base of support. And the other thing that really impressed me, if you will, was that she had, and I talked to, you know, many Valley leaders, there will be leaders from different councils supporting different leaders in local races, but everyone told me that they had never seen the kind of valley-wide support from elected leaders as they did for Kate Spades.
Well, you know, the thing that did happen for her was, you're right, Barbara Boxer, who lives at the Springs, endorsed her, as well as Mike Wilson, who would probably like to put Barbara Boxer in prison if he could, the guy from India, who's, let's just say, he's rather extreme conservative. And so it was interesting to see that. But it was also interesting to see that those endorsements don't mean as much as they used to, do they?
They don't. And Steve, that is an excellent point. I have been really looking at that. And I really do wonder, what does an endorsement mean these days? And I'm not sure that it does mean as much as it used to. But I admire Kate because, I mean, she was a trooper. She just, my goodness sake, she was getting people out to vote, getting them registered, you know, raising money from, you know, I think one of my articles said, I think it was a homemaker to, you know, to CEOs. And it just, I mean, her whole campaign impressed me. She had her own website and her own weekly newsletter, and she just could not break that slate.
Well, you know, it there'll be other times and chances for her and other candidates.
I think you're right.
You know, I mean, that will happen. I think the big news, Cindy Eakin, and you've started to cover it in the report, the group out of Los Angeles that has sued and forced successfully district elections. We'll see in Indio now. We'll see it in Cathedral City. We're going to see it in Palm Springs, probably. That should have a major impact change in our valley, shouldn't it?
I think so. I think you or someone told me that the last time a Hispanic was on the local council in Palm Springs was 1985.
Yeah, Joe Garcia is the last one I can remember.
Okay, that very was in good. The Thank you for sharing that with me. I did not know that. I think it will have a major impact, and especially in Indio. And I will be eager to see who steps up, and especially in Palm Springs, who steps up. I talked to the city manager last week, or emailed him rather, and we had an exchange. He said that could be like 2020 before that happens. It'll take some time, and I understand the process of redistricting, and the public hearings take a long time. And he said the council wants to have even more than the minimum amount of public hearings in it.
Well, it's Palm Springs. They have to have a visioning statement, 43 subcommittees, and 800 meetings. One of the things...
Right.
You know, I mean, let's be real. The other thing that's kind of slipped under the radar in that is the new state election laws, probably in Rancho Mirage as well. They will force the elections to be held in even number years and on regular election dates. So Palm Springs has made, the council people may get an extra year out of that. Because, you know, they're just like, Cathedral City is the one that went to regular, you know, yearly elections. So I think that could be interesting as well.
I think you're right. And I was not aware of that, Steve. As you mentioned, I was gone for about 10 years, and there was a lot that changed in that time. I did not know about that law until just recently. And I think that could have an impact in Rancho Mirage as well, because some of the, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, some of the challengers said that one of the things that they believe hurt them is that Rancho Mirage holds its election out in April just by itself, and it kind of squashes the turnout. I don't know if that's true or not, but...
Well, it's a vote-by-mail election, so,
right.
You know, there's nobody actually physically going to the polls. That's becoming less and less. And
right.
So I don't know about that. I think you're right, though. The biggest changes will be Indio and Cathedral City, because John Aguilar is a Hispanic, but the city of Cathedral City where I live is 50% Hispanic, and, again, very little Hispanic representation.
And see, why do you think that is? Do you think they're intimidated? Do you think they're not encouraged? That is the question that I would really like to pursue, and I would love to just go talk to some people here in Palm Springs.
It's also financial. It's also financial.
Okay.
If you look at the candidates, well, some of them don't, but a lot of these candidates, and especially in the West Valley, have a lot of money. You know, Palm Springs, you could interchange the wealth probably of the Palm Springs City Council with the Indian Wells City Council.
Sure.
And you know, I think that's one of the issues. All right, let's move along here. We have two more races to discuss here with Cindy Eakin of the Eakin Report, which you can gather on Facebook. And what's the website, Cindy?
EakinReport.com. No, just EakinReport.com. You can report on Facebook.
Do we really even have a competitive congressional race? I mean, Dr. Ruiz has about $3.5 million. The other two candidates have about $30. The Republicans, we will have an election, I believe, in the fall. But it doesn't appear at this point that Dr. Ruiz has much to worry about, does he?
Steve, I don't think so. I was visiting with Dan Ball the other day, and if you've had a chance to look at the website this morning, he is still calling for a debate among all six candidates for the primary. He thinks that Dr. Ruiz should participate in that. Dan Ball thinks his name recognition, and I'm not speaking, you know, good or bad about him, he just firmly believes his name recognition will take him a long way. And of course, you have Kimberlyn Brown Pelzer, who's, you know, getting some money and thinks, I think that that's going to take her a long way. The Republican women, Isabella Republican Women Federated, are trotting her everywhere they can. And I think if he has a challenger, it'll probably be her. But she doesn't lend herself to, and maybe you've had more luck than I have, she doesn't lend herself to interviews. She says the same thing over and over and over again. She, I don't know. I was visiting with some Republican women last week, and they said it would have behooved her to have moved here and really reached out to community people rather than parachuting in here at the last minute and
trying to run.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting in covering, and maybe this is where we're going next, the supervisor's race, is that Kimberlyn Brown Pelzer's husband donated Jan Harnick's race. And the thing that I found interesting about that is he does not list his address as Palm Springs, but rather Fallbrook. So I just think it's just a big fake. I think her whole thing is fake.
I think that, you know, that's exactly where I was headed. The next supervisor race, even though it's a nonpartisan race, it's really a D versus R. If you look at Manny Perez, although there are exceptions there, you look at Manny Perez, the current, who was appointed, and then he's running against Jan Harnick, but she's basically running as the moderate John Benoit type Republican. You mentioned the East Valley Women's Republican Club. They're the most powerful local Republican organization out here. I think they've surpassed the two Lincoln clubs for some reason.
Right.
But right now, you wrote an article the other day, Cindy Yukin, who's joining us here on the Coachella Valley Report, on the Yukin Report, how much money Manny Perez has raised.
He has raised more than $800,000, and in his interview today, that is on youcanreport.com, he said that he expects to raise $900,000 for this race. I mean, he'll close in on $1 million, and I find that just astounding.
Now, interestingly enough, he is he had the endorsement of the Riverside Sheriff's Association, which is controversial to say the least, except they do a lot of grunt work. They're the ones who put the signs up and stuff. That goes back to the fact that they hated the late John Benoit. And I think when Jan Harnick basically said she was running as a John Benoit 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever, that immediately opened up the door for him to get that money, because they have a lot of money to spend. And this is a group that endorsed Rod Pacheco, if you remember that, if you were here for that. And they ran Gary Gendron, who is now running for assembly. Gary Gendron, unfortunately, turning into the Harold Stassen somewhat of local politics, but... this is Gary
I kind of wondered about that when I got back and saw that there was the Gendron name again.
He at one point was a viable candidate like 10 years ago, but unfortunately, Gary, this is his fourth race. He's running against Chad Mays, and he's lost all three of them. But are you surprised how heavily involved like the RSA would be to endorse somebody, a Democrat, like Manny Perez?
Well, I think, of course I'm surprised, and especially, Jan did seek that that endorsement, and I think it goes to the point where, you know, I think their anger or dislike of John Benoit, I think, carried over to her, because in the interview that I do with her that will publish tomorrow morning, she really aligns herself with him at every turn she gets. And I don't know if that helps her or hurts her. Now, Mike Wilson, Mayor Mike Wilson of Indio,
one of her biggest opponents is convinced she will win. He says the same apparatus that elected John Benoit will elect Jen Harnett. So that will be interesting.
Well, you know, and I'll leave it at that, but you had there was a nice interview you did with Mike Wilson where he was talking about morals and values, and I will let the listener Google Mike Wilson and see what they think of that. And that's all I'm going to say. Okay, the listener.
Your silence speaks volumes.
You know, Mike Wilson, and again, another KCOD guy who has a radio show here, Todd Goldberg. Mike Wilson had a very extensive Twitter exchange with Todd Goldberg, which was in the local press, as you know, and may not have gone the way Mr. Wilson thought it would.
Oh dear! I think it'll be a conversation for another time.
Another time, I think so too. So you went away, you came back. What's been the biggest change you've seen, Cindy Yukon?
Oh, the biggest change! My goodness sakes! I think the biggest change. I think. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the biggest change to me was the very first article that I published on youcanreport.com. I was surprised at, and continue to be surprised at, how splintered the GOP is. It was one of the very first article I did, and I couldn't get Republicans to talk to me about it. I mean, they were so powerful. When I was here 10 years ago, it seemed like every office was held by a Republican, and that has really changed. Like I said, I couldn't get some who did go on record say that it was because of Trump. You know, there were people who were totally pro-Trump, and then there were people who weren't, but they didn't really want to say that. And even Dick Oliphant, president of the Lincoln Club, said that there were no, no viable Republican candidates to run in the Valley. And I think you and I talked a little bit, I think the GOP has gotten older, and, you know, they're not running for office. And you just mentioned Gary Gendron, who's been now four times over. They keep going back to the same people. I think that's one of the biggest surprises. And I think one of the biggest surprises, and people pointed out, one really big Republican said, you know, every office now is held by Democrats, and he wasn't happy. I think that's the biggest surprise to me.
Well, Cindy Yukon, I want to thank you. Remember, it's yukonreport.com, and thank you for appearing today on the Coachella.
Thank you for calling. I hope we can do it again.
We'll do a recap in June. How's that? Another month away. All right.
Thank you so much for your time.
All righty. We'll be back with more right after this.